I want to thank my relatives for coming today, my aunts, my cousins, my sister, couple of cousins back there, my daughter and my granddaughter, and so many, many friends. And some of you are friends to this ministry, and I want to thank my boss and her husband for coming today as well. And you old faithfuls that are here today, thank you. And some of you have traveled quite a distance to be here today, so I want to thank you for that. And of course, right now is our Sunday humor. And I said this one yesterday to my friend who's 95, and she didn't laugh, so I don't know. She didn't catch it, so I'm really sticking my neck out here, okay? Okay, it goes like this. Jesus was relaxing in heaven when he noticed a familiar older person, a man. He wondered if this older man might have been his father, Joseph. Jesus asked him, "Did you by any chance have a son?" "Yes," the old man said, "but he wasn't my biological son. He was born by a miracle from heaven." "Very interesting," Jesus said. "Did that boy fight temptation?" "Oh, yes," the older man said. "But eventually he won. But unfortunately, he heroically died at one point. But he came back to life shortly thereafter." Jesus couldn't believe it. Could this be his father? "One more question," he thought. "Were you a carpenter?" And the older man said, "Well, yes, yes, I was." And Jesus rubbed his eyes and he looked and he goes, "Are you Dad?" And the older man rubbed his eyes and he goes, "Are you Pinocchio?" Oh, good. Thank you. I feel a lot better. I went home yesterday really sweating it. I was thinking maybe I better not do that one. Okay. Well, I'm glad. Thank you. This morning, I want to ask all of you, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine, but you don't have to. If you want to, feel free. No one's going to pass judgment on you. How many of us this morning have made a wrong choice or made a mistake in their life? I'm going to stick up both hands, and if I could sit in my chair, I'd probably stick my feet and my legs up at the same time. Dave's back there waving his hands. Okay, but did you know that, let me ask you this first. How many of us, now that we've raised our hands on that and we've admitted to it, how many of us would love a do-over or a second chance? Pretty much most of us that raised our hands beforehand. Well, the good news is this, that our God, our Creator, is the God of second chances. And that's what our message is about today, that we serve a God of second chances. And the Bible that I read tells me that the God that I serve is a God of mercy. Now, mercy is defined as to extend help to the lowliest and the most undeserving. Sound familiar? Isn't that how we feel sometimes when we've sinned? We feel like we're the lowliest of the lowliest, or we don't deserve to be forgiven because of our sin. But God's mercy is extended because God's love, God's compassion overshadow punishment. Even when justice demands punishment, God's mercy can step up and say, "Not so, not so," because God's mercy has no limits. His love and his compassion, there's no limits. There is none in this room, there is no one in this world that can go beyond what God's saving power can offer us. There's no one. Everyone has that possibility, that opportunity to accept the power of God's mercy and God's grace. So grace is getting what you don't deserve. What is grace? God's favor, God's blessings. You know, when we sin, do we feel like we deserve God's favor and God's blessings? Absolutely not. So grace is getting what you don't deserve, but mercy is not getting what you do deserve, punishment for your sin. God's mercy reaches the highest mountain and the lowest valleys of our lives. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are renewed every single morning. So what's that mean to us or for us? It means that every single morning, before we put our feet on the floor, we can say, Lord, I don't know what I said yesterday that might have been, you know, didn't please you, or maybe my attitude stunk yesterday, or maybe I lied yesterday or told a short story, and maybe it was maybe you did it out of a right heart. Maybe it was so you didn't offend somebody when they said, well, how do I really look? Well, you look great, when really you wanted to say, you know, but you did it out of a right heart. But you know that sometimes you come short of what God expects from you for that day. So before you even put your foot out of the bed, you just say, Lord, I want to start with a clean slate today. And I'm asking you to forgive me for all the things that I've thought, or the negative attitude, or whatever it is, Lord, that I've done or said that was unpleasing to you. I ask that you forgive me. So we can start with a clean slate. And that's what it says in John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a promise from God. This is a promise. God does not break his promises. It's a simple thing. All we have to do is go before him and say, hey, I messed up yesterday. I blew it. Lord, forgive me. So, that's only because of God's love, God's mercy, his grace. Jesus wipes away the old and brings in the new. He cleans us from the inside out. In Micah chapter 7, it says, he shall again have compassion on us. He will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. Well, what's an iniquity? It's a sin that we know we're going to commit before we commit it. You know, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's an iniquity. But he still forgives us of that sin, even though we know when we do it, it's a sin. But he's still going to forgive us. That's what it says here. He's going to take those types of sin, all of our sin, and put it under his feet, just like he put Satan under his feet. And that's just like what he does for us. He says, put Satan under your feet. You can walk on him. But that's his promise. It says, he will subdue and tread underfoot our iniquities. He's talking about Jesus. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea, not to be remembered anymore. You can't bring that sin up to God again, because why? He's going to say, I don't know anything about that. Because he's forgotten it. He says, I don't remember that sin anymore. Don't keep bringing it up. But now Satan, on the other hand, will want you to keep remembering it and feeling guilty and shame. And he just wants you to be so occupied with that sin that you've asked God to forgive you for 20 times ago. But he just wants to get you in that rut where you feel like you're not good enough, or you're not qualified enough to serve God. So I want to share about, in these next couple of stories, about those that God has given second chances to, or given a do-over. They've been allowed to do a do-over. Because in this scripture that I just read to you, doesn't that sound like God is saying, I want you to have an opportunity to have a second chance. I want you to have an opportunity to have a do-over. So in John chapter 8, it talks about the crowd wanted to condemn a woman who was caught in adultery. It says in verses 10 and 11, it says, as the scribes and the Pharisees brought her, they said, teacher, talking to Jesus, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands us to stone her. Well, first off, the Sadducees and the Pharisees wanted to get Jesus between a rock and a hard place. Because you know, if Moses, it's in the law of Moses, you got to follow the law of Moses. So they thought, well, we've got Jesus here. He's going to be one of the ones for throwing the first stone at her. Because it says in the law that if they commit adultery, they're to be stoned to death. But Jesus, he bends down in the dirt with his finger and writes in the sand, very casually, stands back up, and this is what he says. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw the stone at her. But one by one, beginning with the eldest, they all started to walk away. Now, as they disperse, the crowd disperses, Jesus asks the woman, Where are your accusers? Did not one accuse you? She replies, no, no one, Lord. Jesus replied, then I do not condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Jesus' compassion and Jesus' mercy right then, right there, overshadowed her punishment of being stoned. Right then, right there. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for her, he will do for us because he's never changed. His love and his compassion is still the same today as it was then. He gave her a do-over. He gave her a second chance. Now let's look at Simon Peter. Simon Peter was one of the disciples who represents all of human beings because, after all, he was born a leader. He was born a hard worker. He was faithful. But the thing about Peter, he was hard-headed. And he said what was on his mind. And he acted on things before he thought them through. And Peter was a man's man. But God wanted to use him. Jesus wanted to use him. But the thing about that is Jesus knew that inside Peter, inside Simon Peter, was a compassion for people, loving people. It says in Luke 22, Peter denies Jesus three times, but after the third denial, heard the rooster crow. What this is talking about is when Jesus says to the disciples that there's going to be a time when I'm going to suffer and die for mankind. Peter speaks up. And he says, no. He says, I won't let that happen to you. I will die for you, Jesus. And Jesus turns around to him and says, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, or before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. That caught Peter off guard. But that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. So, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in those four Gospels, it talks about Peter denying Jesus three times. But only in the Gospel of John does it include the scene in which Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? In this text, we find Jesus sharing breakfast with the disciples shortly after he's resurrected. And it's John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Talking about the other disciples. And Peter, he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Then Jesus said it a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus then said, tend my sheep. The third time Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to Jesus the third time, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Well, Peter was right. Jesus did know everything. And what happened there, and that's the reason why Jesus asked him, I've read a lot of study on this. There was many reasons why Jesus asked him three times, Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? And you can go and search them out. And, you know, I've wondered about that myself over the years. But I got this opportunity this last week to do a lot of research, and I'm only going to touch on a few of them here. Jesus was helping Peter confront his sin of denying him three times. That's why he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? But not only that, once that sin was addressed, you know, when he realizes, oh, wait a minute, I denied him three times. He's asking me if I love him three times. I think he's wanting to reflect on the fact that I sinned. I messed up. So he's wanting Peter to address the issue that he messed up. Okay? He wants him to address the sin so that he can remove the sin. So Jesus can remove the sin and restore Peter to where he needs to be. Because all of us today have been sent out for the great commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. All of us. But Peter was one of the first ones to do that. But in order for Peter to do that, he had to get rid of this sin. And not only that, he lost respect from the other disciples because he denied him. And he was getting that respect back when he did that. Peter was commissioned then. Remember, it says, then I say, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So once that sin was addressed, God was able to start using him again. Jesus met Peter where he was at in his faith level and in his love level. Now, there's many different types of love. The one I'm going to touch on is agape love. Agape love is the God kind of love. That's what took Jesus to the cross to take our place, that agape kind of love. But he was wanting to see, Jesus was wanting to see if Peter's faith level and love level was going to move up a notch, but it didn't. But the great thing that we need to learn from this was Jesus didn't expect Peter to come up there. He wanted him to, but he didn't expect it. What he wanted to do is let Peter know, I will come down and meet you where you're at. And that's what he's telling us. That's what God wants us to see right here, is that no matter where we are in our faith walk, no matter where we are in our love walk, God will meet us where we are. And he will take us the rest of the way. When we step out and we do the Great Commission, sharing the gospel, he will bring us where we need to go. He will take us there. So Jesus will meet us at the level of faith and love where we are. Now, I thought this was kind of cute. Some of you might know who I'm talking about here, but there was this guy named Zach. He was a wealthy kind of guy, but he was very lonely. When he walked down the city streets, he could feel the hostile glares at him. But then his life took a turn for the better. Clement of Alexandria, one of the church fathers, said, Zach became a very prominent Christian leader and pastor of the church of Caesarea. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector who climbed up in a sycamore tree because there was such a crowd, and he knew Jesus was amongst that crowd, and he knew because he was small in stature that the only way he was going to be able to see Jesus is to climb up in the sycamore tree. The song goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. The Lord passed by and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. Because I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Now, the little kids, they know that song pretty well. Now, the thing about that was the tax collectors were perceived as traitors because they heavily taxed their own people to serve the Roman Empire. Again, the tax collectors were perceived as traitors to their own people because they heavily taxed their own people to support or to serve the Roman Empire. But Jesus had a reputation for accepting the tax collectors, because after all, that's what Matthew was, one of the disciples. He too was a tax collector, and Jesus came to him. And so Zacchaeus was hoping that Jesus would do the same for him. So again, Zacchaeus, being short in stature, climbs up in that tree, and Jesus saw him perched in that tree, and came to him and said, I want to go to your house today. Now imagine this, though. Imagine this. The Savior of the world, wanting to spend time with a social reject. He was rejected by his own people because of what he did for a living. He was rejected. But Jesus was in the business of going to the people whose lives were broken. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and he wanted to go to people that were rejected and despised. So whether our hearts or our relationships or our families are broken, our hearts are broken, God can mend them. Jesus will never reject us when we come to him. He is the restorer of what's been lost. He's the restorer of what's been broken. He puts a new meaning to our lives. Now, the last story that I want to share takes place in 1958. And it too is a true story. It's about a Pentecostal country preacher from Pennsylvania who goes to Brooklyn, New York to talk about Jesus to gangs on the streets in New York. The name of the gang that he went to first was called the Mau Maus. Well, that probably seemed like a very impressive group name back in 1958, the Mau Maus. The story actually has become a movie, The Cross and the Switchblade. The man that headed up the Mau Maus was Nicky Cruz. Now, the thing about Nicky Cruz was he was raised in a family where his parents practiced Satanism. And he was beat on. He was locked in his room. They did things to him that I wouldn't even want to think about. And needless to say, they didn't want any part of him anymore, didn't want to have to take care of him, so they sent him off to another family member in New York. And whether he got abused there or not, I don't know, but when he was 15 years old, he ran away from home there and went out in the streets and got hooked up with the street gangs. I say that because he didn't know what love was. He had never experienced what love was. So because of the experience that he had, there was a lot of anger in him, a lot of bitterness, a lot of unforgiveness in him. So here's this Dave Wilkerson, the preacher from Pennsylvania, walking the streets trying to get to minister to some of the gangs. And he walks up to Nicky Cruz and he starts ministering to him, and Nicky Cruz turns around and says, "Get off my turf. This is my land. And when you leave, don't come back, because if you do, you're going to wish you didn't." He threatens him. And this is what David Wilkerson says to him. "You can cut me up into 1,000 pieces and lay them on the streets, but every piece will still love you." I would say that David Wilkerson had an agape kind of love. It left Nicky Cruz totally speechless. David Wilkerson ends up having rallies in New York. And because of that little bit of moment where David Wilkerson shows him that love and compassion, that love and compassion, that just for those seconds that they met, drew Nicky Cruz and his gang to one of these rallies where all of them accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to this very day, there was a radical change that took place in Nicky. And at this time, he goes and goes to Bible school, and to this very day, he is an evangelist and goes throughout the whole world. Nicky Cruz's mess that he was in turned into a message of hope, not just for him, not just for this gang of Mau Maus, but for so many others. He said the other day when I was listening to some of his teachings, that he has seen more than thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Christ because of this message of hope that he's given them. They saw a miracle in this man change. They saw the hate that he had. Nicky, who once was like an animal filled with hate, now is the lover of souls. To close, I have a song that I want to share this morning.
Of us grew up believing that any moment we could lose it all, and at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, oh, thinking that we're just too far gone. But I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase his love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. No, there's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, come to the cross and be free. Oh, be free, no matter what you've done. You can't erase His love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated. No matter where you run, He's always holding on. And you're still the daughter, and you're still the son. No matter what, oh, no matter what. Don't know what you've been taught, don't know what you've been told. All I know is my God, He will never let go of you. No. Don't know what you've seen, don't know what you've been through. All I know is my God, He will never let go of you. He'll never let go. No, He'll never, never, never let you go. No matter what you've done, you can't erase His love. Nothing can change it. You're not separated. No matter where you run, He's always holding on. And you're still the daughters, and you're still the sons. No matter what. Oh, how true that is. The daughters, and you're still the son. No matter what. No matter what.
Amen. In closing, in Isaiah, it says, no matter, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you clean as freshly fallen snow. Right here, God is saying, I haven't turned my back on you. So why? So why does God want to do so much for us? That miraculous thing of cleaning us up and using us. It's because He wants to clean us up. It's because He wants to take our mess and make it into a message of hope. He wants to wipe away the old and make the new. He wants to give us a fresh start. He wants to give us a second chance. Guess what? Your future isn't determined by your past mistakes. Your future is not determined by your past. Because God's love, God's compassion, God's grace, God's mercy has no limitations, has no boundaries. He's saying, I'm here today. I want you to have a do-over. I want you to have a second chance. So in closing, I would like us to all go ahead and do the sinner's prayer. Just repeat after me. Most of you in this room I know have done that. But there might be some here that have not. So I would like you to say it with them, because I know that when I said it the first time, it was nice hearing it next to me as well. It made it easy for me when I said that sinner's prayer. So let's all say it together. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner, and I know your Son, Jesus, died on the cross for me. He took my place. So therefore, I can stand before you in righteousness. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask you, Father, to be beside me, to go ahead of me, and prepare the way. Give me boldness. Give me confidence to spread the gospel. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' Amen.